Good evening. I call the September 3rd, 2024 meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Bozger. I'm the chairman of the Planning Commission, and it's my pleasure to welcome you here tonight. This is a public meeting, and we encourage you to take part in the process. Please participate by asking questions and share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting, and I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will ask you to step to the podium, state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so others can also speak. However, focus on your comments, and we'll try to keep track of the time for you. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is posted at both exits for your reference. I'll now call for a roll call of members.
Bozger?
Here.
Haleska? Pounds? Kading?
Here.
Huber? Radner?
Here.
Schroeder? Boswell?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Thank you. I'm going to call for the approval of the minutes to the August 6th, 2024 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Boswell, or no, by Heinrich. And second by Radner, please register your vote. Here we're not voted.
It didn't say.
And then populate.
Try it again.
Yep.
Okay. Not
the pop up that way?
Uh-oh.
Yes, mine's popping up.
Oh, yours is popping up?
Oh, it's not. I saw it on your screen.
Yeah, mine did.
Did your guys' work?
Mine worked, yeah.
Yeah, mine's not coming across.
This is your show.
No, it wasn't in Stratus.
Maybe I'm going to use a password.
Okay.
Can you record his vote for him or not?
Yep, he was
okay.
He seconded the motion. And then I tried clicking somebody else to, and then go back to him.
Yeah, but can you record his vote if you just tell him verbally? Do you know how to do that?
Yes. It's on this screen.
Mm-hmm.
So if I click this, it's still not.
I thought this would be the shortest part of the meeting. Proving the agenda. Mm-hmm.
This is the easy part.
I know. It's supposed to be the easy part, right?
We were so close to a quick meeting.
What's that?
We were so close to a quick meeting. And you came in and just messed it up.
Isn't it ironic that the communications guy always has those technical difficulties?
Yes.
Okay, so you showed up now?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
I can't read it myself.
It's up there, yeah.
Oh, it did pop up on
it's,
here.
It's popped right in there.
Okay.
Members voting aye, Boswell, Kading, Radner, Bozger, Heinrich, abstaining, Pounds.
Okay. So that should be, that's enough to pass the motion. So we've approved the minutes in the August 6th meeting. I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Lads Blair LLC, 100 Matawan Road, Suite 300, Matawan, New Jersey, I hope that's right, to allow plastic dental park manufacturing on Tract 1, Mutual Edition of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 9330 State Highway 133 for the life of the building. Jeff.
Good evening, commissioners. For your first consideration tonight, we have a conditional use permit. On the former Mutual Ball Mall building located on the south edge of Blair. Current zoning is ACH Agriculture Highway Commercial, and then section 1008, which was passed earlier this year, allows for a highway commercial overlay. And part of that overlay includes wholesale or any industrial manufacturing use which can meet performance standards. At the August 27th meeting, the City Council did vote that overlay in for this area. Again, part of that overlay does say that through a conditional use permit, any industrial manufacturing which can meet performance standards, then also warehouse storage and warehouse uses. Nearest residences to this corners of this building at the old Mutual are approximately 0.16 miles away. I'll show you here a little bit on the map. First, though, here's a abbreviated version of the performance standards. In your packet is the full version. I've left out some of the long paragraphs just to get through you tonight. But basically, it has to meet the physical appearances, no fire hazards, sewage with liquid waste, air contaminants, odor of gases, vibration, glare, heat, and then everything else for EPA and DEQ have to met to satisfy these performance standards. Current zoning, ACH, right here off the highway. The area in green is the tract that was involved in the CUP. A view without the overlay showing the roundabout this area, Highway 33 intersection right there. This is the view from Highway 133 looking north. Here's the Mutual building, or former Mutual on top. A view from what it looks like close up, looking south. This 133 right here, the water tower. This is what the building looks like pretty much. Here's the entire view, overview of the building itself. This is an option of what this will be used for. The applicant is here tonight. I'll let him explain a little bit better about what they're going to use. But as you can see, though, they plan on using every inch of this area. Staff thinks it's a good fit for the area. It's set off a bit. It's kind of a unique building itself, which is kind of what the overlay was designed for when you get into these areas. With that, any questions for staff? Yes, sir.
So you said that the closest dwellings are a mile away?
0.16 miles away.
0.16.
We have a residence here and a residence over there.
I got one question. Is it normal to do like the life of the building, or is it normally a few years?
Usually something like this, we put down life of the building, that's what they requested. It certainly can be the stipulation for less time. Again, you can't add more time, but you can always recommend less time.
I guess we'll talk to them about employees and parking and stuff like that. It looks like a lot of parking space, actually.
Yeah, this is all parking here, gravel here, all pavement. There are a couple truck areas, loading docks in this area. Again, from the front, quite a bit off the road, pretty innocuous.
Okay. Any more questions of the staff?
Yes.
So, we go with the life of the building,
mm-hmm.
and this company decides in 15 years to sell or whatever, and somebody else wants it, it goes again up for special use permit.
It will depend on the use. If this is approved tonight, conditional use permit talks about dental parts. So if somebody wanted to take over the business, keep it as is, there could be a transfer of conditional use permit. Okay. If it's a different use, it'd have to be a completely different conditional use permit if it met the overlay standards, which would be the warehousing or industrial standards like that. So this is not a sort of a carte blanche label that you can do what you want to do. It's fairly specific.
Okay, thank you. Would the applicant like to speak on this issue?
Certainly.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to get here and speak to you today about this opportunity we have here. My name is Jeff Thompson. I'm the president of Design Plastics. Make sure, you know, for clarification point.
Before, could you spell your last name to make sure we have it right?
Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.
Thank you.
President of Design Plastics. For a point of clarification, we are owned by a company named Coda Resources. What Coda Resources is the Mattawan address that's listed up there at that point. And what they do is they have specific corporations that buy the property, and they have other corporations that actually run it. In this case, LADS, L-A-D-S, that's the real estate arm. They're the ones actually purchasing the facility itself at that point. Like I said, I'm president of Design Plastics. We're at 3550 Keystone Avenue in Omaha. Company's been around since 1972. We will be the ones who will be actually running the facility itself on a day-to-day basis at that point going forward. So just want to make sure we're clear about that point as well too there. So like I said, the company's been around since 1972. Coda Resources have been around since 1947. Proud to be part of the organization in terms of, with Coda Resources, isn't a company that just buys and sells every 2-3 years. They've been around, like I said, since 1947. In that time frame, I should probably have that number in front of me. I think they've only sold two of their companies at that point. So they're a buy and hold. They're a long-term player. And that's one of the reasons we came to Blair, was we think this would be a good long-term opportunity for us as well. What we do is we have an opportunity to make some dental products here. That's our initial line. And because dental products, that's a pretty wide-ranging type of item. But again, these will be things involving, you know, like I say, dental, obviously, teeth, flossing, things along that line. That will be the product lines that we're anticipating to be able to make here at this point. Design Plastics itself, it does other things too. It makes parts for everybody from Kawasaki to Polaris to Honda to Yamaha to General Motors. So we have a pretty wide range on that as well too. A lot of experience in the back for us. So. Again, we'd like to bring that experience here, that knowledge, and that safety record, environmental record that we have as well, too. The process, how it works, is these are done with injection molding machines. These are not large injection molding machines based on the product line we're going to do. So they are not a loud machine. They are not a noisy machine. They do not have a lot of oil or anything like that, contaminants that could be associated with it. The cooling system we use will be a self-contained cooling system, so there will be no runoff or anything along that line. Any product we have that is not up to standard for us, what we'll do is we will regrind it. I noticed that was one of the items missing here about grinding. What we'll do is we'll take that plastic, we can grind it up, we can then reuse it again back into the machine itself. The regrind process, again, that's a self-contained thing. We even collect the dust on this as well, too, inside the box. So everything gets used up 100% at that point. Based upon what we're looking at right now, though, here for this and our anticipation of the volume at this point, we're going to have at full capacity between 70 and 80 people will be employed there full time. We have signed up with Nebraska Economic, the development on there, so we have minimum salaries we have to pay, which means it'll have to be a minimum of at least $19.27 an hour. That is the minimum we have to be able to do. Also, too, you're required to provide health benefits and other things, so we're fully not anticipating. We will actually make sure that is taken care of as well, too, at this point. So you'll have a job that's going to pay at least $19.27 an hour. You'll at least have benefits up here at that time. We anticipate being up to that 70 to 80 people within about a 3-year period, if not before. It'll just depend how fast we can, frankly, get the machinery in and out at this point. The amount of plastic we'll be using and the other transportation, you're going to be looking at approximately 5 trucks a day. So we're not saying we're going to have 500 trucks or anything like this. Like I said, we'll be looking at approximately 5 semi-trucks a day. We'll be going in and out of the facility at that point going forward. As you saw, there's plenty of parking, so that would not be an issue for us at this point. Also, too, the storage inside is frankly more than what we need at this time, too. We like the fact that it's also got plenty of room for possible expansion going forward, so that would build into us. Because what we anticipate is this not only working well here, if this does anywhere near what we're thinking what it is, we would be interested in expanding that facility substantially at that point. So that would be obviously a different discussion, but we're really trying to think. And we're not trying to have stories that, you know, totally Pollyanna that are unrealistic. These are realistic type of things we think we can get done here going forward in the future. So just kind of just a quick thing. One thing about it, though, too, is I also noticed when it came to the choices here is about the silos. We would have to come to an arrangement to have a silo, multiple silos, 2 or 3 of those things outside the facility. We wouldn't necessarily need to have them face the side of the road or anything like this, but we need the silos to be able to hold the plastic resin. And I do have examples here. I do have examples of plastic resins, which I will show you.
Crowd right there. All right.
Those come in on bulk trucks, and then they're literally just blown into the silo at that point. Because otherwise, you'd have to either bring the stuff in bags or in what they call giant Gaylord containers, which is on a pallet itself right there. That would be something that would be kind of unfeasible for us to be able to do at that time. So you can actually have a bulk truck come in, you can put the stuff on it, and, you know, and you can get it taken care of at that point, too. So, like I said, we'd be looking for something like that. We clearly want to make sure that it's, you know, something within your criteria. Make sure also, too, it was never above the height of the building. It wasn't facing the road or anything here that we have for basics at that point. We want to make sure, again, we're being good neighbors. But we need to make sure that just we have an opportunity to be able to make it economically viable for us. So we would be needing a silo to be able to put in, probably at least two silos at this point. So I just want to say that right up front for everybody at that time. The rest of the facility is in great shape. There would be no need to upgrade any of the electrical, the sewage, the water, and that. That's all Mutual did a nice job on that. They really solidly built that part, to be honest with you. So there would be no need for any of that infrastructure to be in place at that time going forward, or additional, we'll say, at that time going forward.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
So with the plastic product like that, is there any byproduct like smell or anything as you produce that product?
No odor or anything comes off of there. No any sort of gases, fumes, nothing like that comes off of there as well, too. It is not flammable. Sometimes we wish it would be a little more, because that you want it to be able to, you know, to be able to make parts, you need to be able to heat it up. No, so it's a non-flammable type item as well, too. What I showed you was two things. One was the red. The red is actually what the virgin material looks like. The black is actually what the regrind looks like. So I just wanted to show you what both products look like when you take a look at it there, too. So very similar on that. But again, if you have a part that the part wasn't made correctly, or you had some, for whatever reason right there, you can literally grind up and you'll see what it turns back into at that.
Thank you.
You said it wasn't self-contained, so there's not much noise getting out of the building, because we've got some houses not too far away from your plant. I wasn't sure about the noise.
You would, on these machines, you would not be able to hear one machine at the other end of the building.
Okay.
So there's no noise going to be able to escape that facility at that point. So.
And I'm kind of curious, I didn't see anything about silos on our layout. Is that something you're going to have to come to later for, or is this something you're planning right off the bat?
No, that would be something we would get to on an eventual basis. I just didn't want to surprise any, you know, all of a sudden I come back, oh, no silo right there too. It's because as we ramp up at that point, again, the capacity to be able to maintain it, we would need to have a silo at that time going forward. In the beginning, we could use the Gaylord containers just to get us going to begin with, but we'd have to be able to transition, I guess, to a silo at that point.
And you said the silos would not be higher than the building.
We can commit to that. So it would not be higher than the building. We can commit to that.
What kind of hours of operation are you looking at? Is it 24?
Okay, yeah, you'd be looking at 5 days a week, 24 hours, 5/24. Yeah. I would not, now, it would be great if we could run 7, but I don't think the business would support the 7, you know, what we're trying to get done right there. But we're anticipating 5/24 right now. So, and again, like I said, we're not looking at a lot of heavy truck traffic or anything along that line as well. So we want to be good neighbors in that area as well, too. Okay.
Any more questions for the applicant? Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate that.
Is there anyone from the audience like to speak on this issue?
Robert Warwick, represent H&BW LLC. We own the property right to the east of the Mutual property. One of my main concerns probably would be odor. I mean, you're guaranteed there's not going to be any odor outside of the building.
No, I guarantee that part too.
Yeah. Yep. Another thing, the runoff from that property runs
Sir, you need to talk to us and then we can ask the question. Okay.
The runoff from that property runs on to our property. And a couple years ago, we had a huge gully down there on our property from the runoff there. Mutual came in and, you know, filled it all in, reseeded and everything like that. But I can see it's something can happen again. And there's also a big fiber optic line that goes to that building across our property. That was all washed out also. But so my question is, are if something like that should happen again, are you going to take care of the problem?
Let's ask staff and see what staff wants to do about the drainage. Make sure they don't get into some of this property.
Yeah. Well, I can just simply say, I mean, it's standard practice that if you've got one property, that runoff is the cause for erosion on another property, but that would have to be maintained, you know, by the original source, if you will. I don't know, was it running off to the north, Bob, off their property?
Or? It was coming towards the southeast in the back side of the mutual building. There's a little retention pond there.
Good.
It filled in, it wasn't big enough, and it got to be a pretty good sized gully before we got it fixed.
Okay. And that's part of the stormwater management responsibility for the property owner.
They'll still have to do stormwater management, even though the building's there already.
Well, they'll have to maintain the one that was there, you know. With since they're not doing any additions on the outside of the building, they don't necessarily have to increase the size of that. But stormwater management projects all have to be maintained over time.
Okay. So
does that answer your question, sir?
I guess so. They're going to take care of it if it presents a problem.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Because it's their water that's coming off on your property.
All right.
Thank you. Is there anything else, anyone else want to speak on this issue?
My name is Lisa Anibal, A-N-I-V-A-L. My address is 9332 State Highway 133. We are directly impacted to the north from this building. We are their neighbor directly. And while we feel we're glad that the building is going to be inhabited for many reasons, we do have concerns about noise, odor, and the runoff, which I think have all pretty much been answered, I believe. Our greatest probably concern is traffic. The entrance to this facility is also right at the private entrance of our home. And so while there's a very small sign there, that would be our concern with the amount of either semi-trucks or 80 employees, et cetera, because if they come down that road, they're coming directly to our home before they're able to turn around. So I don't know if there's something specific or signage or things of that nature that could come in place.
Let me ask you, so your property is straight up north,
directly
right?
Directly north, correct.
So that's your driveway?
That's our driveway.
Okay.
Correct.
So your concern is someone gets on that driveway instead of where they're supposed to go.
Or a semi-truck, or yeah. I mean, any of it, right? Because we have no other entrance to our home.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So anyone else like to speak on this issue? If not, I'll close the public hearing. Is there anything to say about the driveway there, or should we just do it, or just that would happen when they decide to go in? Some kind of signage or something? I don't know.
Yeah, and obviously we'll look into that. I don't know exactly the details when the highway was expanded, and therefore they kind of rerouted that driveway. Whether from the state's perspective, it looks like it's all on state right of way. Whether the state looks at that as partly kind of like an access road that then ends up going to their property. So yes, it ends up being their driveway, but it's probably more than just their simple driveway. But again, I'd have to look and see exactly how the state designated it in the past. Putting up a small sign would not be a challenge.
I know it's not part of this thing, but also that property along 133 has been zoned for possible businesses, right? Or
correct.
And
yeah,
so
that empty lot to the
and
front.
That road might, that driveway might be part of that, or we are they.
And that's what I don't know. We'd have to look into that and see if it's simply for their access to their property, or if it was designed to provide, you know, some
access
limited access
something
to
else.
Another one.
Okay.
We'll look into that.
Thank you. Any more questions of staff? Like I just. If not, I'd like to. What would the commission like to do?
Kind of wonder about stipulation of time rather than life of the building.
And what are your thoughts on do the 15, 20 year, something like that?
I think if you have a business, you should just let them run their business. I don't think we should put a time on it.
Sometimes loans are for a time of the business, and if you say, well, only 15 year loan, that might be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a
business. I can't really hear what any of you are saying.
Ah. Well, we're talking about the time period, whether it should be 15 years or the life of the building. That's what we're talking about.
Say, question for staff, if we put a 15-year, 20-year stipulation on it, they would then have to come back and reapply for conditional use at that point when that expires? How does that?
Yeah, I mean, it's generally just as any other conditional use permit would be out there. So it can be for a limited period of time. Depending upon what kind of loan structures they have, you know, they may have a lending institution that doesn't look favorably upon too short of a time period. So that's something to consider. Regarding your question earlier, we oftentimes have tied these to the length of a structure. If it depends more on what's going on with the structure than just the use, this kind of goes both ways, you know, right? So I don't think a time frame would necessarily be out of the ordinary to consider that. We've also had ones in the past that have been approved for this particular ownership only, and if the property's sold, then they have to come back in at that point in time. So that's one way to consider it as well.
Okay.
So you want to approve it?
I motion to approve this.
As presented.
Okay. The motion is approve as presented. Is there a second?
I second.
So I have a motion by Radner, second by Katie, to approve as presented. Yes, Milt.
So maybe I should have spoke up further. I would like to see something in the motion that says that silos will not, when silos are built, that they would not be asked the height of the building.
You want to make an amendment to the motion?
Yes.
So is there a second to that amendment?
Second. I'll second it.
Okay, so
they've committed to it, they've agreed to it. I think that's fair.
We have a motion and a second to amend the original motion to the height of the silos, so no taller than a building height. That all right? Did you get it?
Bill made the motion. Who made the second?
I did.
Okay. And you made the original motion, right?
So can I not?
He made the original motion. I seconded it.
Right.
And Milt changed it.
Would you be amenable to change your original motion? And if the second goes along with that, you don't really have to have the secondary voting.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, basically you're stipulating what he had said during the public hearing, which was that the silos wouldn't be any taller.
So
that way it gets it in the motion.
So if they both agree to it, that means that's the original motion,
correct,
and
correct.
We don't have to do the amendment.
Yeah, and because you hadn't voted on it yet.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so the motion is that we approve as presented, with except the silo heights must be no bigger, no taller than the building.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, that's the motion.
All right.
Please vote. There it is.
All commission members present voting aye.
So the motion passes, and that will go to the council meeting, the second council meeting in the month of September. Okay. I'll open a public hearing to consider a replat application submitted by First Christian Church, 1133 North 28th Avenue, Blair, Nebraska, for lots 4, 5, 6, and 7 in Outlot A, Bella Vista First Edition Replat, a replat of lots 2 and 3, Bella Vista First Edition, a subdivision in the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 1133 North 28th Avenue. Chuck.
Thank you. For your next consideration tonight, you do have the replat of Bella Vista, first edition. Located in the northeast part of town, right on the edge of town, actually, by First Christian Church. This subdivision is zoned RL, residential density. It is not going to change. The property itself, 1133 North 28th Avenue, which is owned by the church, the one property does make up to two lots, two and three. The first lot one is not part of this. That's a separate lot, will not be changing. Lot four, which is where the church will remain, will contain 4.6 acres. And of course, lot five is 5, 6, and 5, and then seven is 3.3. The outlot contains 1.59 acres. But usually we try to stay away from outlots. In this case, this outlot is the road that part of the condominium organization is going to own. Sewer will be private and water will be supplied by the city. This will be contingent on permits from the state of Nebraska. Again, outlot A, as you see when you see the plat here, the more information, you'll see that it's going to be part of the condominium regime. So every lot will own part of it. They'll all own it together. So there's no need for a contiguous parcel, because it also says that in the plat that this outlot A is part of, you know, part of the other lots. Here's the entire lots 2 and 3, the First Christian Church here, border here, Westwoods Drive, all RL, this is RM. Zoning overlay, again, not going to change. This will be your first lot, this is 2 and 3. This is up the hill, down the hill, and the bottom is RM. This shows, again, the border of the replat in question. A little bit tighter view without everything on it. Pretty much hills here. The city does have an outlot right there for a one time, which would be a road. At this time, there's no plans for it to be a road. This is a quick overlay showing what the lots would look like with the replat. You can see the outlot A coming in through here. This would be the building there, or the lots there, there, and there. Again, each of the lots has access to this, which gives them access to private road as part of the condominium regime. Current look of the church, going to look up the hill. Up there is all the houses. That is looking down the hill. It's looking west from, actually, from that outlot, the city's right away, where there may have been one time a road.
Looking east.
Looking east, yes, ma'am. Again, here's the outlot. This is a tighter shot of the plat. Lot 3, 4, 7, 4, 5, 6, 7 there. And the entire plat here. Up here is a notice that does contain that the outlot is part of the Condominium Homeowners Association. There's also language in the dedication that says that outlot can be used by any homeowner to run utilities. The idea, of course, is that nobody gets shut out of what they want to do, and the city does not have to take over the outlot. No reason for public screening here. It would only serve three lots, and we did not see it as a good use of taxpayer money. Any questions?
So what kind of structure? Are you saying condominiums? Or how many?
It's a condominium regime. I believe Mr. Nielsen is here tonight to talk about that, but I believe there are going to be single-family units in that area. Now, to get everything to fit in there, they have to go by, again, that condominium idea where everything is owned outside of your own house, so that it does become a public road, a road to access your public road. It is RL. If there was something in the future where they wanted to add something else, RL at this point does not allow any of a single family. We do have an overlay that could be applied to it if needed, but that's a lot of other things down the road, not really any part of this. If something like that were to happen, or if something wanted something more in there, we would definitely have to come back for several rounds through Planning Commission and City Council for their approvals. So at this point, you're just looking at this replat to turn these two lots into four with the church retaining its own.
To make sure, so where is the church located on this map?
Right here.
That's the church lot there.
Go back to here.
Yeah.
That's the church lot.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
And the condominiums will be the other lots then?
Yep.
Okay, got it.
The condominium regime.
Regime.
Single family dwellings will be on, as planned now, will be on each of the lots.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions of staff? Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff, one question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm a little confused.
Yes, sir.
Condominiums, when I think of condominiums, I think of houses next to one another.
You do.
Okay, but you're talking about a single house on each of these lots?
This is the condominium regime, which is basically you own your house and your lot. And then anything outside though, which is co-owned, like in this case, Outlot A, is owned by all three properties. They're the ones that have to take care of the road, they have to install the road, they have to maintain the road, they have to maintain the sewer, the water. It's all private till it gets back down that road here. So
I can't read, but this one is shaped like a pentagon.
This one?
That one. Yeah, okay. So how many family units are we talking about being put on that lot?
At this time, a single family unit is what was proposed to us.
It's just one.
At this time, you cannot have more than two houses. You know, if it was a condominium where you had two or three condominiums together, that was not part of what was presented to us. So again, it's a difference of what the whole idea is to be able to share that Outlot A. Other than that, it's just like a regular replat.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Would the applicant like to speak on this issue?
Sure.
Come on, come forward, somebody.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. Craig Johnson, 953 West Red Grudge Road, and JOHNSON. Okay. We live up in West Red Road there, and we look down over that property and stuff. Now, you keep saying condominiums, and that's confusing. I think condominiums, I think of multiple units and stuff. Now, last week, you guys had a meeting where you're going to allow anybody in town, basically, to add another small house into their property, build more, you know, for a living. I read the paper. So what's going to happen up here with this guy who's got the 5 acres? How many little houses is he going to be able to put in on his property? Is there any answer to that type of a question for us? You know,
well, right now,
it all sounds great. One person 5 acres, one person 4 acres. Okay, three houses. But you put rules in last week that, oh, I live at this house on 26th Avenue and I got a backyard. I can put another house back there. So what's going to happen up here? How many houses are going to be put in to these three housing areas? Because, I mean, there's got to be rules somewhere along the line for the town. I mean, I can drive downtown and there's trailer houses, trailer homes, campers parked in the street, extension cords running to them, people evidently living in them. I got other ones in the front yards of houses and got junk piled behind them. So what kind of rules are we going to have around this stuff? I mean, I can look around town and see a bunch of junk. And I went and talked to the city about it. Nothing gets done. So what are we going to expect here? Any answers?
Well, would you like to say something?
Number one, just to clarify, obviously he's not part of the developer, just one of the neighbors. But very good questions, and I'm glad you're reading the paper and kind of paying attention to some of the things that are going on. What recently was done, what he's alluding to, was a special housing overlay that could be applied in various places around town. That's not part of this development at all. That wouldn't be allowed here at all right now. Again, can't guarantee you what somebody in the future might come and ask for. So there's no guarantee anywhere that somebody wouldn't come and ask for an overlay to be placed on top of it, but that's not the case right now. As Jeff was emphasizing, these are three separate lots that they're all going to just have one house on them. Okay, that's what it's intended for. Now, go back to your question. Condominium associations and regimes come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. If it's a townhome where they're stacked together side by side, basically the agreement is just simply stipulating what's privately owned and what's shared by everyone. Oftentimes in those townhomes where they're hooked together, even the exterior walls, the ceilings, the foundation are all part of the regime, if you will, and they're jointly owned. Therefore, you don't have the right as the property owner to paint it a different color or do something different. You know, the whole kind of homeowners association shares with that. That's not the case here. These are really look like individual lots. The benefit of this is there does not have to be a public street that touches each of those lots. And so therefore that private lot, outlot A in this regard, is what gives them the common access to all those other properties. And they can do it more independently, and yet they're still ultimately responsible as owners who are part of this homeowners association or condominium association to be responsible for that outlot A, maintenance of the road, plowing of that road, all those kinds of things.
So go back to his question though. So that's a consortium, correct? A condominium consortium. So those buildings would have to be built, are they going to be required to be built the same?
Again, it's also think of it as a homeowners association. Ultimately, okay. That's really what it is. So any homeowners association can have rules and regulations on what they expect for a property, you know, on theirs. It really is going to be depends upon the owners right now. You know, obviously when you start with one owner, they're able to write the rules, they're able to write the requirements that they have for what each of those structures looks like. Now, obviously someday in the future, a planning commission could recommend and the council could approve the ability for theoretically anybody anywhere to add an accessory dwelling unit to their property. I don't anticipate you recommending that. I don't anticipate the council wanting to do that because they've talked about only limited places. But theoretically, that could be done, and none of us today could say that that couldn't occur sometime in the future. So if something like that was done citywide, obviously somebody could build something like that. But it's not allowed now. You have one dwelling unit on a property, and these would be three individual properties. They just also happen to be part of this condominium association or regime so that they can have that outlot, provide their own private driveway.
And this is within site city limits, right? So,
yes.
So there's no covenants or anything like that would...
Any covenants, and again, back to the Homeowners Association can form covenants however they choose to. It would regulate what they are allowed to do there, but the city doesn't regulate those at all.
Right, okay.
So we have our zoning regulations that we would enforce, but if it's anything unique just to the Homeowners Association and their requirements, it's really up to them to enforce that.
The question was, we're just asking the questions as the developer.
Sorry, can you...
Come up.
Sorry about that. But my thought is that so if the developer normally writes the covenants for these type of things, they would write the covenants, and that would be a requirement for that to answer his question. You know, this is one single house per lot on the developer side.
The single house is a zoning regulation that the city enforces.
Okay.
But there could be other things like you couldn't have any kind of shed on the property at all. That would be a covenant,
right.
And it's the property owners that are part of that homeowners association that really have the responsibility to enforce that. They enforce it on each other, but the city doesn't enforce that kind of a rule. There's other zoning regulations that we do enforce, and one residential unit per lot is one of those ones that we enforce.
So, and as zoning sits right now, you couldn't have an accessory dwelling unit.
Correct.
Right now, anyway.
Yeah, no, anyway.
So that's not a thing right now.
Right.
Even if it was, that would be through, there'd be many more meetings to come on that.
Correct.
To become a reality.
Correct.
I'm kind of curious about a private sewer versus a city water. So they won't hook up to the city sewer system then, right?
Mainly like because there's limited sewer in this part of town. There are several of the homes that are scattered throughout this area. They're on private septic, but have water. It's much easier to get water to a property because you push water uphill. Obviously, the sewer doesn't allow you to do that as easily. And so it's not uncommon to have larger lots like this. And again, Jeff's whole point is they still have to get a permit for that septic field. Still has to meet all the state's regulations for where you can put a septic field, those kinds of issues. There's certain setbacks from property lines. There's certain setbacks from other adjoining living units, things like that.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if it was an association.
No, it wouldn't be a group septic.
Or individual houses, septic fields.
No, the individual ones for each house.
Okay.
Now, what we wanted to make sure was that Outlot A provided not just access for the road that would go in there, but also ultimately would be the area where people would run their water lines.
Right.
Because the city's going to require every single house to have its own separate water connection. So that theoretically, if water bills didn't get paid, we'd have something to be able to shut off. And not shut off the whole association. Theoretically, could they choose to put one line in that would run kind of to the center down here and then branch off of that, and they'd have a main meter and then separate meters? Theoretically, they could do that. The city would work out an arrangement with them. Probably a lot of hassle for three houses, though. It's probably better just to have a longer main line, and then all of their meters will be located out close to the city right away in a pit out there someplace.
Okay, any more questions of staff?
No.
Is there any more discussion from the people in the audience?
And you can have them, okay? Hi, Keith Parr, P-A-A-R, 1132 West Ridge Drive. I'm the second house down from the street that the city has involved there. I would like to know where the street goes through their property right now. If they want to build other homes and open that street up and have umpteen vehicles going by, that's not what I bought. I'm paying a lot of taxes for where I live, for a private backyard. And when he says the condominium that we can possibly do more with later on, that bothers me. I would like to see where the city street is supposed to go through. To me, it looks like it runs right into the back of the church. If this is the case, maybe we need to close this street permanently so that they can't say 10 years from now, well, let's build three or four more homes on each of these properties and we'll give them access from up above. I don't think that's what any of us would like up there. That is basically what I've got to say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Do you want to speak on that, Jeff? You look
yes,
like
sir.
You want to speak on that.
You're up.
Okay. So as you can see right there from this overhead view, this street ends right there. There's no path for it to go into this lot. There's no way for it to go into the replat. As far as closing that, I believe that homeowners could make a petition to vacate that driveway, and that would be up to council and commission. So that's always an option, but right now there's no plans for that to go any farther.
And it's a little bit, I would say, simply as the city administrator, it's kind of the chicken and the egg. The first thing is allow them to do this condo association with the individual lots. Then clearly there's not going to be any need for this property to have access from up above. And at that point in time, we could take it to the council to have that vacated. And then just removed. And what happens with the vacation is it basically gets split in half, and each half then goes to the adjoining property.
I'm going to go back to Florida. You never want to say never, say never, because that's a really steep hill. And for somebody to build a road up that, probably a lot of money. But
I'm sorry, I drive up Westridge past Connor. Dana every day.
I was just saying for some
streets going all up there right now.
Right, I was just saying for a private person to build a road that may not be practical, but
it's practical.
You want to say
something? I'm so sorry to interrupt, but if you are going to make comments, I'm going to have to ask you to go up to the podium, take the turn, and ask you to give your address, just because that's the rules of the procedure here. I want to make sure we're following it.
Thank you. Let's let someone else, there's some other people want to speak. Let's let some other people speak first. Okay, thank you.
Okay, they don't want to hear from me.
Yeah, my name is Christian Jennings. I know a couple of you up here, but
I live at 1043, so.
Spell your last name, please.
Yep, J-E-N-N-I-N-G-S.
Thank you.
Yep. So I think it's a terrible idea. I think you guys should deny this. For one, we don't need another homeowners association in Blair. I think that should stick with the city. There's nothing really stopping people from adding houses later, I believe. And also, right now, if I wanted to, I can go to my neighbor. And if I want chickens in my backyard, I can ask. That's something we can do in Blair. I don't want to have to ask a homeowners association to be able to do that. On top of that, I got concerns because it's a big hill. Not only are there tons and tons of trees in there, but they all sit on a giant hill. 1043, my lot right there, is very steep, as you can see from the other picture, and it just keeps going up. I want to know when they start building, how's that going to affect flooding? How's it going to affect mud running downhill? And also, like the other gentleman said, you know, I pay a lot of taxes to live up there, and my house value keeps going up. I'm paying more and more, and I don't want to see my privacy gone. Because with my lot, the way it sits at 1043, those trees are gone. Those condos are going to be looking right down on my property. Those take away my property. It's displacing a ton of animals. I saw a deer running up Larson Drive the other day because it didn't know where to go. So we're already having issues with animals not having anywhere to go running through town. You know, do we want to add to that? Other thing is too, you know, there's every sort of animal through there because this tree line, if you back up, goes all the way out to the river. So there's deer, there's turkey. I mean, just about any animal you can think of back in there. Are there any endangered animals back there? You know, have they done a study on this? I don't want to see them displaced either. I'm a hunter and a fisherman and into conservation, and I think this is a terrible idea, and we don't need another homeowners association in Blair.
Thank you.
For three houses.
Thank you. Hi.
I'm Jeanette Nielsen, J-A-N-E-T-T-E. Nielsen is N-I-E-L-S-E-N. I am part of Nielsen Homes and Development and Nielsen Custom Homes. Do you need my address?
Yes, please.
13476 Spring Ridge Loop. So we were approached by the church mainly because they have more land than they need, and this would be advantageous to them. We have... Just so people know, we had the engineer look, and this was the best plot that we could come up with where we could feel that we could develop three home sites, not condominiums, not added houses, three single family home sites. We get a lot of requests for acreages, and in town would also be very desirable for them, and you would take a area that's completely tax exempt and add a very good tax basis just off three properties right in that area. The homeowners association really isn't to create any problems. It really is to just make sure that those people are maintaining the road and that there's less cost on the city for that. Gives them the private access, and it did prevent that road from going through from Westridge. So the whole goal of the homeowners association really was to prevent there from needing to be more traffic up there and running through that property. So it was purposefully designed to prevent that. So our whole goal is just to be able to provide three additional home sites within Blair. And I feel like also we walked that whole property. We understand there are animals there. The whole goal is to not just go in there and take out multiple trees and whatnot, but just to create three places where people can build.
Thank you.
Greg Johnson, again, 953 West Ridge Road. Now, acreage in town. How many livestock are you going to have there? You got an acreage, you got 5 acres. What are you going to have?
Not allowed.
You get, it's, not, it's in the city.
Allowed yet, so. Are you sure?
Yes.
Everybody wants to buy an acreage once.
They're not allowed.
They're also not allowed to do a lot of things in town, but they do it. God, come on. I'll take you for a drive. I'll take you for a ride.
Fine, meet you tomorrow.
Okay, I'll be down tomorrow. Get you some places. But acreage like that in town. But like I said earlier, I saw in the paper, and you guys approved it, small houses going into other lots in town. You can build another small house for somebody else to live in. on your acreage, or not your acreage, but your lot in town. Okay, so these guys are going to own these lots. How many houses can they put in? They're 5 acres.
Just themselves. One. You have to get a change the zoning to do more than one. And okay. You get to come to us and okay. Tell us why you shouldn't do that.
Okay, but I saw in the paper you guys are going to allow, you passed it. We have a paper right here. You guys passed it where you can add in another smaller, not smaller, another dwelling into your property. So what's going to stop these people? Any ideas?
Go ahead, lawyer.
So I think what you're referring to is there was a commission that was designed, and many individuals across the community, across the city, planning commission, developers from the city met, and they designed some ideas to promote housing. One of those ideas that was proposed was this idea of possibly in the future promoting tiny homes, accessory dwelling units, things of that nature. It has not passed yet. We did approve a resolution that said we want our city to look at options and move forward with ways to promote housing in Blair, to promote more housing, because we're seeing a request and a need, and as industry has grown, we're not seeing enough housing for individuals who want to live here and support our city. But it is not that our zoning has changed. It is not that we have changed to allow the accessory dwelling units. That has not happened yet. What you're referring to is the housing commission that was done and the resolution they passed, looking at options and asking the city to look for more options for our housing crisis that we're experiencing.
Okay, now if that comes to pass, who approves that?
Do we get to vote?
Wait, let me. Do we get to vote on this? We're supposed to be a democracy. So if something like that comes up, okay, we're gonna allow this, or you guys want it to, is that going to be on the election? We can vote on it, the town or nothing? No,
if,
it's going
to
be.
If
sounds
it
more
to
like
a planning commission like this, you'll have an opportunity to speak on
okay.
it again.
Sounds more like a socialism type deal.
And then it'll go to city council again, and you'll have another opportunity to speak on it then too.
Okay, but. So
and you elect your city council
words,
members.
In other words, so
sir,
you have the final vote.
Sir.
Okay. So.
You elect your city council members. They are there to represent you. And so if you have a problem, I would recommend reaching out to your ward council members. I believe Westridge is in Ward 4, is that correct? And that would be Kirk Heifel and James Letcher. And they are happy to speak with you if you have opinions on this. And they will listen to you. They're wonderful council members. I think everyone on our city council does a great job of listening to our community. And they are elected to help you with these issues.
Okay, but if you still other words, they are the ones who get the vote. They can listen to every one of us, but their mind's made up. So,
yeah.
Does anyone else want to speak in this issue?
I have one thing real quick.
You'll let other people that haven't voted voice their opinion yet. You've already been here.
You spoke. Can we let the person
Motion be on.
Because you're sitting next to me.
Go ahead. Sir, you haven't.
The one in the blue in the back hasn't heard him.
Okay. Well, there's just a guy over there, too. Go ahead. Come on up.
Sit down. My name's Gary Thomas, Thomas, and I live 1150 Westridge, right next to the where the road is supposed to go. And I sold my house a few years ago and bought that house primarily for the view out the back, because it needed a ton of work done to it, which I've been doing every year since we lived there. But the view is what sold me on that place. And also, I even went down to the city because they've got that turnaround there, and I offered the city to buy that if they weren't going to put a road in there. And they kind of snubbed their nose at me, so I'm like, well, okay. But I've been mowing it for 4 years. So, I mean, I don't qualm, you know, I would like to do some stuff to that, you know, where that's at right now. It's got all sorts of stuff. I'm kind of picky about my yard. I've killed my yard out couple of times up there just to get it the way I want. But the view, like I said, that's what sold me down the hill. And how much is that going to affect the view from the back of my house right now?
Don't know.
You know, I've got, you know, I mean, it's, that's my biggest qualm right there. I love sitting on the back deck and looking down, and it's like, so, I mean, that's worth something to me right there.
Okay.
And that's primarily all I got to say.
Okay, thank you.
Take Mike Jones on.
He's had his hand up next, behind the guy in orange. Yeah.
Thank you. My name's Mike Jones, with living at 1062 Westridge Drive, here in Blair.
Spell the last name, please.
J-O-N-E-S.
Thank you.
And I agree with his comments about this possible street area. What's the technical term for it? It's not a turnaround.
It's a stub out right away. It's a stub out.
Stub out right away.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, what would happen to that would be a decision by the city and this association. Homeowners association.
No.
That's not true?
No.
Okay. Who decides on what happens with that?
Yeah, just real briefly again, Phil Green, City Administrator. Again, usually when subdivisions are platted, it's our responsibility, Planning Commission's responsibility, to make sure that you have adjoining access to other lots. So that's why it was originally put in there, with the expectation that maybe there would be a road in there someday, but not necessarily a requirement. Obviously, once this other lot that it's potentially providing access to gets developed in the way that the current owners desire to develop it, and if the city council then determines that it doesn't look like there's any viable reason why there'd be future development, they could vacate that little stub area. And again, whether they would vacate it and retain it and then sell it to the adjoining property owners, whether they would vacate it and not retain any ownership at all, which then means it goes back to the adjoining property owners, that's a decision the council's going to have to make sometime in the future. But there's been numerous situations where we've had stub outs like that that haven't needed to be used because the connectivity just wasn't essential anymore, and so therefore the city has vacated those. But it has nothing to do necessarily with the homeowners association, other than once it goes in, and that's going to be what develops, therefore the city then independently can choose just to go ahead and vacate that old stub street. Is that cleared up?
Kind of. well, if that homeowner of that new acreage,
it has nothing to do with the individual owner.
At all?
No, not at all.
Or the association?
No, because once it goes in, then the city knows what's being done there, therefore they don't need connection.
Then the city could choose to close it.
Yes, and the city only can choose to close it.
That's all I needed to know. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Lady back there?
Hi, my name is Sue Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, and I'm at 1150 Westridge Drive. Just a question on the houses that they're going to build in these three. Is there any requirements to the size of the house that has to be built, or the dollar amount of the house that has to be built in the new lots?
Jeff, I don't believe there's any requirement,
no,
right?
No city requirements.
Could be up to the homeowners association, but no city requirements.
So you want to go one more?
One more time. Thank you. I'll be easy, I promise you. Keith Parr, 1132 Westridge Drive, P-A-A-R. Do we know where they're wanting to put these homes on these particular lots? Would be one question. And my other question is, if they do these lots, why can we not, along with approving this, close that vacant street so that in 10 years or 20 years, whatever, we don't build 20 more homes or 5 more homes down there and use this street? Can't we make this a possible, okay, we're going to close this street as we approve the new platting?
You want to go ahead, Jeff? Please answer this.
Jeff Fireman, Community Development Director. That's about, it's not part of the street plan. So it is outside of anything that's being presented tonight. Again, it could be up to any citizens to approach a council member, get something going like that, approach otherwise, but that is not part of the decision tonight.
It could be.
It cannot be.
It cannot be, it was not.
So it's this plot only, which is those lots there, so, sorry.
I think that opens up the right for you guys to do whatever you want.
Anything else from the audience?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing.
Wait, there's still one over here who hasn't talked.
I'm Cole Johnson, live at 3020 West Ridge Drive.
Spell your last name, please.
Yeah, 3020 West Ridge Drive, my name's Cole Johnson.
So, spell the last name.
J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Thank you.
And I guess my curiosity was with the way these lots were at, so are they owned by the church right now? Like, who owns this property?
Yeah, the whole property's owned by the church.
Okay, are these lots going to go up for sale?
We don't know.
So like, are we going to have the opportunity as homeowners to jump in and buy these?
Well, you could go to the developer and ask him to build you a new house if that's what you
no,
want.
No, I just want to buy the property because yeah. I don't want any homes built.
The church has a potential buyer who is then working with them to plat this and then take over and purchase those.
Speak with the church or whatnot.
So they've already agreed on the price. Now, if you're prepared to pay the same price for all of the land, then maybe they would look at selling it.
Are they sold in all three lots or is it one lump sum?
My assumption is it's all lump sum based on the fact that they're platting it and buying it.
A lot like that, correct? Yeah. Just out of curiosity, thank you.
Yep.
So you have one more fast comment?
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
We good?
Right now. state your name and stuff again.
Yeah, I just wanted to add what I was saying earlier.
State your name and address.
Yeah, okay. Christian Jennings, J-E-N-N-I-N-G-S. Yeah, I live at 1043. So one thing I wanted to add here too is I've heard multiple of my neighbors around this entire area talk about the view and how that's the reason why they bought the house that they have. And also, you know, that's what really makes this an important area. Something I wanted to add though is, you know, we're doing this for three families. You know, there's three houses going in there. You guys talk about, you know, want people to move into Blair, want to come into Blair and develop it so there's enough housing, but what about the beauty of Blair? You know, it's a really beautiful area. People buy houses in this area because of those trees, because of the additional lots, on top of it being on a hill, flood concerns once you get those trees out of there, you know, what's that gonna do mud-wise downhill? Me being downhill as one of the houses, but also just everybody's property value that lives in the area too. It's gonna affect property values for three families, and there's multiple houses around the entire area being affected. So I just wanted to say my piece, add that in.
Thank you. Is there anyone else want to speak in this issue? Have you spoken before?
No.
Okay.
Paul Hogg, 1222 West Ridge Drive.
Mm-hmm. Spell your last name, please.
H-A-A-C-K. So we live on the very last one there, and we have the view that everybody has, and I would rather look down with three lots down there instead of 100. So I think it's a great idea. And as far as that little nubbin street there, if anybody would down there would want to drive up that hill, take a left and go down West Ridge, I think they should be evaluated.
totally wrong. I don't need people in my neighborhood driving around.
And then as far as the deer and the antelope, where they play, we own less than an acre, and we've had as many as 80 turkeys and 20 deer on our lot at one time. And they don't seem to mind. I don't think three more houses are going to make much of a difference in them, especially with all the right north of there. There's a gazillion trees and no houses. So, anyway, I have no problem with it.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wanted to make a comment on this? Oh, go ahead.
I am.
I'm
just wondering, I'm just wondering if you
Pam Johnson, I live at 953 West Ridge Drive. I'm on the
Could you spell the last name, please?
Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Thank you. You can put it down.
Yeah, I live on the other side of the road. And we have a big hill, and we have homes down there, and they're beautiful. And we have trees. We hide some of the areas from the span. So I think if Milson's, they've got beautiful homes. They put some beautiful homes down there. And leave some trees, you know, right down below on these people's property to hold that freaking hill up. And, you know, landscape it nicely. I think that these people could look down, it would be pretty. You know, because you have trees that can hide the roofs and this and that and all. So I think it might work if they quit in their beautiful homes like the people, you know.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else want to speak on this issue? Good.
Thank you. Mike Jones again, J-O-N-E-S, with 1062 Westridge Drive. I also am in support of this effort with this property. Because I think having just three residences is someday something else is going to happen. If this doesn't happen now, it's going to happen with this property someday. And it might not be as good as what I think they've got proposed here. There's no one.
Speak to us and stuff.
Yeah. I can appreciate other comments that have been made about the view and the beauty. I've been a part of that view for 60 years since being a student here at Dana, and have always appreciated it, and was very, very fortunate to have an opportunity to have a home there with that beauty. And I believe that the contractor is going to do everything that he can to blend in on the property as he has with other areas. And I support this because I think if it doesn't happen, it's going to happen some other day in some other way that's not going to be as good as what this is.
Okay.
That's my thinking.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing.
Thank you.
And see what the commission would like to do.
I make a motion to approve this as presented.
I'll second it.
Got it.
Motion by Boswell, seconded by Pounds, to approve the replat as presented. Is there any further amendments or discussion? Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye. Boswell, Kading, Pounds, Boziger, Heinrich, voting nay, Radner.
So that's so that has passed, and it will go to the City Council in the second meeting of the month.
So September 24th is when it'll be for council.
Thank you. Thank you. So report from staff.
Nothing else, Chairman.
Nothing.
Thank you. Motion?
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Heinrich, second by Kading to close the meeting. Please vote. I should say adjourn the meeting. Okay. Thank you, Commission.
See you guys
all
next
time. All Commission members present voting aye.
You are adjourned.